Jesus rises from the dead, and you've got to ask the question, haven't you? So what? What does it mean for us? And Jesus said this to his disciples the night before he was taken away and killed. He says, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Jesus knew he was going to die. Jesus knew that all the disciples would be very, very, very sad. But Jesus knew there was something fantastic the other side of that, which was his resurrection. But it wasn't just his resurrection, it was our resurrection too. The other side of the death of Jesus wasn't just Jesus' resurrection, but our resurrection. Do you know what the word resurrection means? You're good with the answers. Let's have somebody else. Resurrection. Let's make sure we've all got that word. I'm using a long word there, aren't I? What does resurrection mean, Luke? It means you come back to life. Very good. Thank you. New life. And so Jesus coming back to life means that we can come back to life too. And that's what makes it so important, that Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us and that we don't have to mourn. We are finishing a series of five talks, five sermons, five teaching series on eternal destiny. That means where we're all going to end up after we die, after we leave this world. What's the destiny we all have? And we've looked at what the Old Testament says. We've had 4 weeks looking at what the New Testament says. And we're just finishing that off today. And we're going to think about that final destiny we have and what we're headed for because of Jesus. And I'm going to take you to some 1-2 scriptures to look at that. So, here we are. This is what Paul writes about the new body we're going to have. Remember that Paul, the Apostle Paul who wrote the letters in the New Testament, that Paul saw the risen Jesus. He saw Jesus after he was risen from the dead. And he says, this is how it will be when the dead are raised to life. When the body is buried, it is mortal. Who's going to tell me what mortal means? Go on. You die. Mortal things finish. When raised, it will be immortal. Can't die. How about that? When buried, it is ugly and weak. When raised, it will be beautiful and strong. So when this body dies, it won't only be the mortal will only become immortal, but what's ugly and what is weak will become beautiful and strong. Some of you think you're beautiful and strong already, but you haven't seen what you're going to be like. When buried, it is a physical body. When raised, it is a spiritual body. When our bodies are buried, they're buried as bodies that are made. They're given their life by a Greek word called sarx. That means the flesh. But when we're raised, our new body, we're given our life by the Spirit, by pneuma. Just the same word there as in 1 Corinthians 3, if any of the folk want to check that out. So the spiritual body doesn't mean that we just woo-woo-woo-woo floaty spirits. It means that we have bodies, but they're motivated by the Spirit. We're spiritual beings. How good is that? So there's four things about the resurrection body. Let me read you right from the end of the Bible, Revelation. Chapter 22 of Revelation. Here's what it says about what we're going to be like. And I want you to listen carefully, because I want you to pick out some of the fantastic things about the state that we're going to end up in. So this is John having a vision from God about what heaven's going to be like. Okay? About what things at the end are going to be like. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had disappeared, and the sea had vanished. The sea is the thing which separates from God. And the sea vanishes because we've got access to God now. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared and ready like a bride dressed to meet her husband. I had heard a loud voice speaking from the throne. Now God's home is with people. He will live with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them, and he will be their God.
Here's some lovely things about what's going to be like. He will wipe away all tears from their eyes. There will be no more death, no more grief, no more crying, no more pain. The old things have disappeared. How good is that? No more death, no more grief, no more crying, no more pain. In the new earth where we live with our new bodies. Then the one who sits on the throne said, "And now I make all things new." And he also said to me, "Write this because these words are true and to be trusted." And he said, "It is done. I am the first and the last, the beginning and the end. To anyone who is thirsty, I will give the right to drink from the springs of the waters of springs of life without paying for it. Those who win the victory will receive the crown." In the Garden of Eden, we lost the right to take from the tree of life and live. In heaven, in the new earth, that heavenly place that God's going to create for us to live, we can drink from the water of life and live. And we're given that access again. How good is that? And it goes on in the last chapter to talk about there being no, there won't need to be any light in heaven because God's light will light it up. We won't need a sun because God will light it up. Fantastic place. And this is what we're looking forward to. Now, I want Yuri to come join me, please. Will you come join me, Yuri? Yuri's in his work uniform. Do you know what his work is? Drives children to school.
Yep.
Right, what have you got here then? Here we are. Here's his card. Yuri Eisinger. Yuri, I tell you what. If I was a parent and I saw that picture, I wouldn't let my children on your bus. You need to look at that afterwards.
That was 10 years ago. I was miserable.
Walter's coaches and Oxfordshire County Council. So that says that the kids can trust you and get on your bus with you and be driven to school by you.
Yep.
I got Yuri here to just tell us something. You see, when we think about heaven, it's all in the future there, isn't it? And sometimes we can think, well, something in the future, that's not so interesting. But, you know, things in the future can sometimes be very interesting, can't they? Yuri, do you ever take children on school trips?
Yeah, I do.
Where do you take them to?
Parks, to swimming pool.
Yeah.
The mini works.
The mini works?
Yeah.
What's the furthest you take the folk?
Not yet, but I will take them to parks up north.
Oh, like Alton Towers.
Alton Towers, yeah, like that, yeah.
And in the past with older kids, you've gone even further afield, haven't you? You've gone on...
Yeah, I've been to Austria and that kind of stuff,
skiing and things.
Yeah.
Now, tell me about the excitement of kids going on a trip.
Oh, it's immense.
What are the kids like going on the trip?
Oh, when they're not in the bus and they're, "Oh, I'm going on that ride, I'm going on that ride, I'm going on that ride, I'm going on that ride." Have you been on that ride, bus driver?
Before they get on the bus?
Yeah.
So they're not there yet, but they're already excited?
Oh, absolutely.
How would you feel? How many of you kids have ever been on a school trip to somewhere exciting? Yeah? How many adults ever went on a school trip to somewhere exciting? What did you feel like when you got... We're not talking about actually getting on the bus. Just getting the ticket that you're going. Did you feel good about that? What about when you went home and said, "Mum, Dad, there's this school trip. I can go on this trip. Will you let me go? Will you pay for me?" And they said yes. How did you feel? Yeah? So you see, we don't have to be there to be excited by these things, do we? Do they get more excited as they get nearer it?
Yeah, they do.
What are they like right before they get through the entrance of the park?
Oh, they've finished all their food and everything's on the floor. And they would just want to get out and they just want to run through the park.
And you've got to try and control them on the bus?
Oh, you can't.
You can't control them? Okay. So you just get there, park as quick as you can, open the door and let them off.
The one in the back wants to get off first.
Okay. Yeah.
And they all sit in the back, of course.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you, Yuri.
Yeah.
Thank you.
For some of you, eternity seems a long way away. For some of us, eternity seems a lot nearer. And we haven't got quite so long to go. I want us to think a little bit about how we feel. Because we know we're going to end up with eternal life, living in glory, where we're going to have this mortal's going to become immortal, this ugly and weak's going to become beautiful and strong, this fleshly thing's going to become spiritual. Because we know we're going to be in a place where there's going to be no tears and no crying and no suffering and no death and no sickness. Because we know we're going to be in God's presence, we've got something to look forward to, haven't we? Yeah? And even though we're not there yet, and hopefully for many of us, it's a long time since till we be there, we can be really excited about what God has for us, our destiny. And it should change the way we live today. Just like it changes the way kids feel in school if they're going on a school trip. It changes them because they're going to go there. And we've got that hope. In your hands, you should have a ticket. I will need the band up, I think. In your hand, you have a ticket. And it says lifetime trial. Expires after 70 years approximately. Upgrade available. Okay, you and I have a lifetime's trial. God's given us a lifetime to get sorted out whether we're going to actually sort out life with him for eternity or not. Okay? We've got this life when we can seek after him and find him or not. And it's our choice whether we're going to find him or not. Now, I've got a whole bunch of tickets up here which says paradise experience. Admit one, price paid, you go scot-free, duration without end. Now, we're going to have a bit of time with the musicians playing for us, and we're going to have these dishes across the front here. If you have already said to Jesus, I want to follow you and I want your unending life, I want to have eternity with you, come and take one of these and throw away your old one. Just toss it on the floor down here somewhere. And use it to say, thank you very much, God, for my new life. Just use it this morning to say, thank you, Lord God, that I have a new life. And maybe you might want to pray, too, for some of your friends or relatives or colleagues who don't know Jesus yet. Say, Jesus, I pray that they would have this new life as well. And go back with your ticket and hold on to your ticket and have those prayers. If you haven't yet followed Jesus, and you're at risk at your trial running out after 70 years or whatever, and there being nothing else, that being the end, I want to ask you to come and take one of these and say, Jesus, I want to trade in this temporary trial offer, and I want to have your eternal life. Forgive my sins. I want to follow you and obey you, and give me a new life. Does that make sense? So I'm going to put them out here, and just as we sing these songs, whenever you want to, come up and exchange that one, screw it up and throw it on the floor, for one of those. Let them get started before you dash up though.
All I am, Lord, and all I'll ever be is all for you, Lord. Take all of me, and all I have, Lord, and all I'll ever see is all for you.